Hi, this is Isa.
And Lisa. Welcome to Internet Aesthetic. We talk about the internet, aesthetics, culture, and media. We're two Vietnamese-American women who live in a society, and we're here to analyze it. Grab a snack and hang out with us. Today, we're talking about Instagram infographics and their proliferation over the last year, what they do well, and why we should be more thoughtful when we engage with them. Before we get into it, I also wanted to recommend Amanda Mariana's YouTube video. It's called The Instagram Infographic Industrial Complex, which I thought was just like a super cool video title. We almost named our episode the exact same thing, but I was like, I don't want to like copy her. But yeah, she came out with it like around the time that we decided we wanted to talk about this. So yeah, we watched it and it's really good.
I love her content. Anytime she makes videos, I'm like, yes, no one else is talking about this, and she always delivers.
She just came out with like a video about Finstas, and I'm like, I want to talk about Finstas too.
I immediately put it to my to watch list. Love her content. I think also in this episode, I kind of wanted to talk about how Instagram infographics are kind of different from its predecessors, but also about how it's similar, because kind of like at its core, mm-hmm. like this format isn't really new. But at the same time, there are elements of like these infographics, specifically being on Instagram, that are kind of new and unique. And I feel like a lot of the examples that we will share are mostly around socio-political topics, but it's not just political content that's shared in this format. I've seen posts about, you know, mental health and science and technology using this kind of format. So yeah, I think broadly what we'll talk about is pretty applicable to these topics.
So what is an Instagram infographic?
I think overall, Instagram infographics are Instagram posts that aim to educate broadly, and they use contemporary mm-hmm. aesthetics and design to kind of package up that message. Sometimes the packaging is like pastel, retro aesthetic. Sometimes it's like the classic millennial, like corporate bland aesthetic. But I feel like no matter what aesthetic it takes, there's always some kind of very designed font, text, a very pleasing color palette, and then maybe like the optional clean, nice graphic. That's like the infographic part of infographic. And yeah, I feel like sometimes the infographics, they keep the text minimal and like they lean more on like the images and the graphics and maybe like a few punchy phrases to communicate their message. But some are just like really heavy with text. And yeah, I feel like those ones, they almost make it feel like more credible, because I feel like when I read through them, I feel like I got the full story by reading through the whole post. But I mean, obviously that's not true. But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, like, I mean, I agree. I think very designed graphics with relatively like simplified ideas of like mm-hmm. complex issues, you know, like they're trying to condense all of this information into like Instagram's mm-hmm. 10 slides in a carousel. And then I think that like this format kind of became extremely popular, especially during like Black Lives Matter last June. And then like in an article, it said like it just didn't seem appropriate any longer for celebrities and influencers to act as if nothing was happening and to mm-hmm. go about business as usual. They kind of had to like say something, and so it was easy for them to like post a black square or like repost these like really aesthetically pleasing mm-hmm. like infographics that educate people about racism in America.
Yeah. I think I noticed that too. I feel like before, I guess June last year, I mean, people like wouldn't even dare to whisper like Black Lives Matter. Like, and then I feel like the proliferation of these graphics, it kind of opened the floodgates for people to feel comfortable creating and sharing this kind of like very palatable content.
Yeah.
I think one other thing that I noticed about Instagram infographics is that they're like specifically user-generated content, and that's how it kind of differs from other internet shared infographics I've seen for the past couple years. Because a lot of times, and we'll kind of talk about this later, but infographics are a little challenging to create, just like technically, like you need, you know, Photoshop or whatever to make them. And so it's oftentimes like corporations or, I don't know, like nonprofits or just entities creating them. Whereas these Instagram mm-hmm. infographics are like specifically created by people like you and me. I mean, there may be, you know, official publications now and like authority figures now who kind of leverage this this format, but for the most part, everything that I see is just made by normal people. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, like anybody can like hop on Canva
basically.
And just, like, whip something up. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure most people are actually putting thought into even, like, their Canva designs. Not their designs, but, like, the information as well. But, like, yeah, literally anybody can make these.
Yeah.
And seem authoritative or, like, knowledgeable.
Yeah, I feel like there's a whole, like, another topic on how, like, design confers authority. But I don't have it's out of my reach right now.
Wait, I need to write that down as a, like, as a topic idea.
That'd be fun to research.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into, like, pros. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, the pros that I could think of were, like, you know, it does bring attention to current events and issues to a wide audience that probably normally wouldn't see these things. Like, there are times when, like, with Stop Asian Hate, you know, a lot of people were, like, bringing attention to the fact that, like, a lot of news sites and TV and stuff like that, like, they weren't really talking about violence against Asian American communities. Mm-hmm. And so, like, these infographics and Instagram posts in general was where I got a lot of more information, whether I wanted it or not. Like, there were some pretty graphic posts that I was like, I did not want to see this much detail.
Yeah.
It brings attention to, like, these issues to a wider audience. Ideally. Yeah. And it can be, like, an informative first step before you, like, ideally actually do some research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that pretty much summarizes why I also find these, like, Instagram infographics useful. I think, like, for me, it's a helpful, like, it's a very quick way for me to know, like, what my friends care about or, you know, like, my following list. Like, people that I follow because I like their perspective or I know them personally. Like, it's a good way for me to know, like, okay, this is kind of what they're interested in right now and, like, what topics are relevant to them. Because chances are, because I like them, because I follow them, they're relevant to me too. Mm-hmm. Because, like, when I think about what the alternative to Instagram infographics is, yeah, for me, it's, like, reading through the New York Times or, like, kind of getting as wide of a variety of news sites as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then reading, like, the topics there to get a taste of, like, what the world is interested in at large.
Yeah.
So, for example, I can read, like, the top five articles of the top five reputable news sites every single day. But the thing is, my circle is more Asian American, more Zillennial, and, like, more upper middle class probably than what the whole world is. So to me, like, these Instagram infographics are more relevant to, like, my immediate world. Like you mentioned, the New York Times only really started reporting on Stop Asian Hate when it got really popular on social media and, like, when they realized this isn't something we can ignore anymore. So yeah. I thought, okay, I guess these are useful because otherwise, like, quote-unquote more mainstream, like, broadcasting services, like, would never really think about, like, what I care about and, like, what's in my community. And I think, like, kind of to that point or kind of similarly, just, like, in general, quality reporting on current events is just on the decline and journalism in general is dying. So I feel like, I mean, I learned this in my journalism class, but just, like, the sheer volume of, like, reporters and, like, bureaus established internationally have just, like, dwindled down. And so it's, like, if you can't really get the scoop from the source or, like, from, you know, quote-unquote official sources who have been trained and, you know, they have the resources to really, like, digest this information correctly and factually. Like, if you can't get it from them, then you kind of have to rely on, like, everyday people who either, you know, live there themselves or you kind of hear it through the grapevine. So, like,
yeah,
I think really, like, the alternative is not great. So, yeah, that's kind of why that's, like, a pro I can think for infographics. But that doesn't mean there are cons to this.
Another pro that you had is about how, like people who normally wouldn't have a voice, like, this is another way for them to, like, get the word out.
Yeah. I feel like social media in general is really powerful in that way. Like, I think all throughout history and especially now, like, if you don't have money or influence, like, it's really challenging for you to make changes in your community. If you just watch the news, like, all the news is just relevant to people who can, like, basically pay for the topics to be talked about, like, because media, I mean, even the local news is dominated, like, by, like, the advertisers who pay for them to report. So,
yeah,
social media is awesome because it gives people like us an opportunity to share, like, what's actually going on in the world and not just,
yeah,
what's been paid for to talk about.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, anyone can talk about anything.
Yeah. There are pros and cons to that. For better or worse. Yeah, for better or for worse. At least we have some kind of platform. So what are some critiques then, Lisa?
They're kind of bland, I guess. like in our millennial aesthetic episode, we kind of talk about how, like, it's a very basic design, you know, mm-hmm. bright colors or pastel colors, like, nice fonts, you know, it's, like, very minimal. And so, like, they're kind of co-opting these, like, blands
mm-hmm.
and using them to, like, promote their issue or their group or movement.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And so, like, that's cool. But, like, then something that was also brought up is that, like, now brands are, like, re-co-opting that to like, also make it seem like they're part of the movement or, like, that they're supporting.
No, yeah. It's kind of, like, in, like, this sea of, like, infographics and, like, bland activism posts that all look the same. How do you know,
yeah.
like, what content actually came from an activist who really cares about the topic and is, like, trying to make change, and what content came from just, like, a fashion brand who literally couldn't care less about it. They just need, like, a Juneteenth post. And, like, that kind of, I don't know, maybe it does or doesn't dilute the efforts, but the fact that they all look the same makes it very confusing for consumers, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I think at a certain point, like, you see so many that you kind of start passing them over, maybe?
Exactly, yeah. I'm guilty of that, where, like, I'll see a post, and from the first slide, I think I kind of know what they're going to say, and then I just don't click on it when... I mean, I don't know, like, if it was just, like, an Anthropologie's Juneteenth post or whether it was actually, like, full of content that was meaningful. I really don't know. So guilty.
I think you would know if it was like Anthropologie performatively being like, oh, you know, here are some groups you can donate to. And then you're like, why don't you donate them? Like, another thing that I kind of saw was, like, influencers and content creators can also, like, co-opt this aesthetic to also promote or, like, take part in promoting these issues and stuff and get social clout from it.
Mm-hmm.
And get, like, likes and follows, and then turn those likes and follows into their own profit. Mm. So they're, like, profiting off of the aesthetic, profiting off of the movement. It's, like, a little slimy.
That does feel very slimy.
There's also, like, more of a focus on aesthetics, maybe, that, like, on the actual content itself. And I don't know if this is necessarily a criticism of the format as much as it is a criticism of us.
Mm-hmm.
For liking the aesthetics or, like, valuing aesthetics over, like, the actual content.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously they're doing that because it's what works.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's, like, what grabs attention on Instagram. I read that it's, like, what Instagram prefers. What's the word?
Algorithm.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, what the algorithm prefers.
I mean... Yeah, when I thought about, like, my criticisms for graphics, like, these infographics, I think I had to separate, like, criticism for the creators and then criticism for the consumers, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and honestly, I don't really blame, like, if you're, like, an activist who's trying to kind of, like, propagate your message and, like, your agenda, like, honestly, the only real criticism I would have for them is if there was, misinformation in their posts, which we can cover later.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, honestly, yeah, like, they're all competing in this space on Instagram that is, like, very noisy. You have to fight to be relevant amongst, like, all the celebrity posts and, like, posts about, like, your sister getting married. And, like, I think if just reformatting their content into this way is what gives them a fighting chance, like, I mean, I guess I can't blame them.
Like, Instagram is very visual.
Yeah.
So... I think it fits the format.
Yeah. I think I agree it is. Like, it feels a little slimy that people feel like they have to see posts in this format in order for them to care about it. Like, I don't think it's necessarily conscious. Like, oh, I won't click on it if it's not pretty. I know, like, I'm very guilty of that too, where it's like why do these kind of important topics have to be palatable? Like, why does racism and classism and sexism, like, why is learning more about this have to be palatable to me in order for me to want to learn about it? And I think that's just it goes even further and deeper of, like, people kind of shying away from important issues just because it just can rub against their own privileges or their own, like, I don't know, comfort in everyday life.
So. Well, I think also, like, to argue for design, I mean, for one thing, like, something that I've learned is that, like, people just generally don't read. Like, you kind of, especially, like, on social media, you kind of have to condense and reduce the amount of information that you are going to be making people read. Because if it's, like, a lot, people's eyes are going to glaze over. Yeah. They're going to maybe swipe through, like, one or two and see that it's a lot. And they're just going to, like, decide they don't have maybe, like, the time or the energy or the mental bandwidth or whatever. Or maybe they're just lazy. They're just going to keep scrolling.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's easier to have those punchy phrases that, like, you know, get in someone's head and then they think about it for like a while and then maybe, you know, down the line they like Google it or something. And then I think that's what makes it worth it, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then also like having it be well designed makes it easier to read.
Yeah.
I've also seen infographics where it's just like text heavy as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, who's gonna read this? Like, this is essentially a long ass article.
But worse, because it's not even screen reader friendly.
Yeah, exactly. That was actually another one of my criticisms, is like, I saw one where like the text was so tiny.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't even read this.
Yeah.
I have to like zoom in on Instagram. Are you kidding me?
I think that's a really good point though, because it's like, you really only have, you know, 24 hours a day. Like, there is no way you can possibly learn every detail about every single important topic in the world. And so, like, like, what is the most important thing, like, that you can learn in, like, the next, you know, 10 seconds that you're reading through this post? Like, that would actually make an impact. I don't know. Like, and I agree. It's, like, I feel like design as, like, a functional thing, design as, like, an aesthetic thing, that's, like, such an interesting topic that I don't know as much about.
Yeah. Like, it also kind of plays into, like, this idea of, like, slacktivism or, like, performative activism, where people will repost or share to their stories or whatever these infographics because they look nice, because they fit into their feed. They're just, like, performatively, oh, like, here's the issue of the day, and they're not, like, actually doing anything. I mean, on one hand, it is, like, valuable to, like, share the information and spread the information, but, like, if that's all you're doing, it's not enough, I guess.
Yeah, your activism doesn't really mean much then. If, like, at that point, you just, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, of course, I'm guilty of this too. Like, you share because you feel like it's what you should do. And it's, like, the bare minimum to show your followers, like, okay, I'm, like, not an anti-masker. Or, like, I'm, like, not a Trump supporter. Or, you know, insert, like, XYZ perspective. And, like, I don't know. I've heard, like, a lot of criticisms, too, of, like, just the concept of virtue signaling. Like, is it truly better than nothing? I don't know. Like, what, I wonder what the data is around that, or psychology is around that. Because I think people do feel like, this is enough. Like, me sharing this post is all I need to do.
But, like, I think the thing is, like, sharing is important. Like, I've talked to, like, friends. I'll bring up these issues and they're like, oh, I didn't know about that. I'm like, huh. Because, like, I think, like, you know, like, you think of your circle and you see the things and you think everybody can see those things, right? But really, like, it's only you that sees those things, and maybe, like, other people aren't seeing the same things that you are.
Actually, no, I think that's true. I feel like people will share things if they feel like, okay, if there's at least one person in my follower list who might not know about this, I'll share it. Like, I know I definitely have, like, a lot of, like, cousins who are, I don't know, I definitely know they disagree with me politically on some things, or I have a feeling they're unaware, like, because it's, like, a very local issue, or I don't know. So, like, I think in that case, like, it is very helpful.
Yeah. I saw, like, in an article, maybe you aren't your most liberal friend. But, like, you might be someone else's most liberal friend, you know? And it was, like, kind of, like, this weird Venn diagram from, like, white supremacists of, like, circles of, like, your social circles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, you know, like, white supremacists to, like, you know, kind of upper middle class whites to, like, you know, maybe, like, I don't remember what the rest, but it kind of, like, a bunch of different circles that kind of connected back up to, like, black people. And so, like, if everyone is, like, sharing, it, like, trickles down.
Yeah.
To, like, those more conservative who might be not be informed.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, okay, one of the things that I saw is, like, I mean, last June, this is kind of, like, when these infographics started becoming, like, really popular. And so one of the things that I saw in Amanda's video was, like, oh, like, you guys weren't aware of racism until now. And like, I think, like, I mean, I think that's fair, but I think it's also like, I don't think it's surprising.
I'm not surprised, yeah.
That people just like weren't aware that they were just like so caught up in their privilege. It's like, it's just something you don't think about until it's like shoved in your face.
Yeah.
And so I think these infographics are doing something.
Yeah. I think that that's a fair conclusion. Yeah. I think like one quote that I really liked from Amanda's video that kind of suggests this is she said that changing your behavior will change your attitude. Changing your attitude doesn't always change your behavior. She mentioned that believing in a cause is not necessarily the same thing as fighting for a cause. And there's like nothing wrong at all with like, you know, changing your attitude. Like, to be honest, a lot of people need to change their attitude about very serious topics. Like, there's a lot we need to do in like the racism department and the sexism department. However, like, there's no real replacement for like actual behavior change. Like, you can't really trick yourself into like thinking that, like, you have to be very realistic about how much you're helping. Like, yes, sharing the post, that is maybe like the trickle down effect will maybe like breach into your most conservative or most liberal circles to help change their opinion, but like you can't like trick yourself into thinking that it's necessarily, you know, gonna help.
The only thing,
yeah, the only thing, like, it's not gonna help, you know, your low-income grandma suddenly, you know, get more government benefits, you know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, just as long as we're realistic about the impact, I think there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's some value in sharing these things, but it's like, you shouldn't stop there. I guess,
yeah. Okay, well, something that we should stop is misinformation.
So here's a quote. Instagram users seem to have decided en masse to ignore the possibility that just because a post has been shared thousands of times does not ensure that the information contained within it is reliable. This is not to say that the majority of infographic creators are conspiring to misinform the public, but rather that facts represented by infographics are always susceptible to manipulation by both conscious and unconscious biases. Therefore, the lessons learned from infographics, which present a limited amount of often highly subjective interpretations, should not be considered complete. You know, like, as somebody who comes from like Tumblr, there are like so many of these like quote-unquote informational posts that, you know, like, especially when I was younger, I would just kind of like reblog them indiscriminately. But then the culture on Tumblr kind of went through this like change of like where we realized that like anybody can post on Tumblr, and you can't just like read something and believe it. Like, you have to like do the research. And so like I am a lot more selective now. And like it's funny because like on Tumblr, you know, you'll like see an informational post, but then like you keep scrolling down and like somebody else is like refuting like the previous person's argument, and they're like, no, you're actually, you're wrong, and here's why. And then further down, it's like another person arguing that the other person is wrong, and so you're like, I don't know what to think.
I love those posts, and it's just like,
yeah, they're like honestly kind of funny.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's like coming from Tumblr, where I think a lot of users have kind of learned to like approach everything with a level of skepticism, and then going on Instagram and like seeing everybody share all of these infographics, I'm just kind of like, y'all, like, did you guys double check this shit?
I know, and sometimes they're just like copy-pasta from Tumblr, and I'm like, yo, this was refuted in the notes. Like,
dude, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So I think this is like the main reason why I haven't really shared any like infographics or anything myself, just because I would want to double check first. And frankly, I just like, I'm kind of lazy. And by the time I have like done the info research and stuff, like, the post is gone. Or, like, it's not on my feed anymore. I don't want to look for it. I don't remember like who posted it or like who shared it. I'm just like, okay, well, like, at least I learned something.
I think, yeah, I also refrain from sharing posts a lot now, just because, I mean, I definitely shared more posts when like the Stop Asian Hate posts were more numerous, just because I felt more informed about those topics. Like, living as an Asian American person, having taken Asian American studies, like, really, like, trying my best to understand and, like, improve the Asian American experience. Like, I felt more equipped to share those posts.
Yeah.
But now I feel like, huh, to the average person following me, does it look like I care more about, like, Asian issues? And, like, I'm only willing to raise my hand when it concerns me? Because I've shared, like, Black Lives Matter posts. I've shared, you know, like, I've shared, like, a variety of political, sociopolitical posts. But, like, looking back, yeah, I have shared more about the Asian American, like, experience. Yeah. So I feel like image is also a pretty big part in like how people share on social media, and like I just brings me stress like thinking about that level too.
Yeah, like I guess like that's like my other reluctance to like repost this stuff is like I feel like if I repost one, I have to like repost all of them.
Yeah.
And then like I feel like people are going to be watching me like, "Oh, she didn't repost about this one thing. Obviously she doesn't care, so she's a bad person now." And I'm like, I do care. I just like, I don't know. It's just like a lot of like energy that you have to invest, I guess. But yeah, like I've seen on Instagram, people are like, oh, like, you know, you need to be like talking about this stuff. You need to be like caring about this stuff. It's like, I do care and I do talk about it. Like just because I'm not posting about it on my social media doesn't mean that I don't care.
Yeah.
Or that I don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Or that like I'm not learning about it, or that I'm not like, you know, getting involved in some fashion. It's like another thing like on Tumblr where like, oh, you need to reblog this post, or you're like a terrible person. Like, why does this only have like, you know, like 100 notes instead of like 10,000? And it's like, it like puts pressure on people to like just perform.
Yeah, definitely.
Which like, I don't think that's ever worked.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The thing is, like, the thing that I've seen about the Palestinian eviction thing is that, like, apparently, like, sharing on social media is actually helping bring the issues to light. Because previously, like, Israel was kind of, like, winning the branding? Not the branding, but, like...
Oh, yeah, like, they're controlling... the image.
The narrative.
Like, yeah, the narrative.
Yeah. They're controlling, like, the narrative, but, like, by sharing, like, these posts that share the perspective from Palestinians, like, the truth is coming out about what is actually happening.
Ah, the power of social media. User-generated content.
And so, I don't know, I've been kind of, like, rethinking my stance.
Yeah. I mean, it's never, like, black and white. Something that we learn in media studies, it's like media is neither good nor bad, it's the medium. Like there is also the message that we have to consider. So
yeah, but then I feel like if I start like posting now, they're gonna be like, oh, so you didn't care before. And I'm just like, ah, it's so complicated.
And it's like, I guess we have to consider like, why do you want to share? Like, and it's like a whole different thing in itself. Okay, sorry.
Anyway, to get back to the point of misinformation is that like, yeah, some of these posts might not be entirely accurate. Anybody can make them, as we've said. And I think like, you know, a lot of these people are trying their best to provide accurate information, but like they're not journalists. They don't have like other people like on their team. They don't have a team probably to like fact check them. Like usually it's probably like followers who are like, hey, you're wrong. But anybody can say anything, and you need to, like, approach things, not, like, with skepticism, but, like, just, like, an understanding that, like, you need to do more research before you start talking about this stuff yourself. Yeah, like, today my brother and I were talking about cryptocurrencies, and at some point he was just like, you know, I'm just parroting what I heard on the internet, and I was like, aren't we all?
Exactly, but, yeah. I think you bring up a good point, because it's like, I mean, no, even if you do your best, even if like a creator like fact checks and has even a team to provide them a more like broad perspective to like bring color to their post, there's no way a single post can ever capture the entire nuance and like background and context of a situation.
Yeah.
Even if you like take a photo of what's happening, like you're still framing it and like you're cutting out everything that's around it. So like I think, yeah, like you bring up a good point in that you just have to be aware, and like it's just part of digital literacy at this point to like just understand that, take with it what you will. Like when you see a post, maybe, you know, it's helpful for you to understand a situation, but like understand that it's of course like still never the full picture. Even if you stitch together like 10 different posts, like you can still maybe get bits and pieces of the picture, but yeah, there's no way you can get everything. And I think like another thing is that there's misinformation in every level of media, like Instagram infographics for sure, but like even at like the White House press conferences, there is misinformation. And so it's just in general, like when you see information about current events and like things that are not impacting you directly, or even things that are impacting you directly, like just take it all with a grain of salt.
Yeah, you need to like research multiple sources, gather like a more well-rounded understanding mm-hmm. of what is yes. happening. Like, something that I thought was, like, really interesting is, like, there's this Insta post by a user called Baritone Pats, and it's two different posts. It itself is kind of an infographic, I guess, but it's, like, taking apart, like, one of these infographics that had been making the rounds during the anti-Asian hate movement. And, like, it kind of, like, simplified and flattened the structures of power between and within racial groups. And so this person was just, like, taking it apart and, like, pointing out why this infographic was, like, wrong. You know, I just thought that was, like, really interesting because I don't see a lot of criticism for yeah. infographics. Like, I think most people are just, like, sharing them. And I haven't seen any, like, oh, actually, you know, we were wrong. Which, I don't know if that's, like, a good thing or a bad thing. Like, is it, like, just that, like, a lot of these infographics are correct? Or are we just all accepting it?
That's a really good point, because I think the reason why this is just my theory for why there isn't as much criticism, besides maybe, like, in the comment section, is because the creators are so decentralized, like, literally how anyone can be a creator, how can you possibly find, like, okay, unless it's, like, a super popular post that everyone sees. Like, it's really mm-hmm. difficult to give feedback to, like, everyone, like, who's sharing this information. Yeah. Because if you say, like, this commonly misunderstood, like, fact, for example, like, statistically, Asian people are more affluent than other, like, non-white ethnic groups, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, 100,000 different people on Instagram are saying the same thing, like, it's, like, too kind of exhausting to, like, take apart, like, each individual post. You can maybe make, like, catch-all post, sure, but it's just, like, it's just too challenging.
That's true.
But, like, I really like that post that you shared, or I think, like, Cookie Catherine shared that too, because yeah. I definitely, like, thought about sharing the original post because it looked pretty and seemed, like, kind of true, but it did feel a little weird. But yeah, I also feel like people just yeah. don't know, like, what's true or not. A lot of people are just unaware.
Yeah, like, I think you're right, actually. It's not, like, it's hard, especially because, like, if one post gets really popular and then maybe you realize there's something wrong with it, like, it's hard, it might be harder to share the, like, date, because people might not be sharing, like, oh, this was actually wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, they'll probably just scroll by, see it, and be like, oh, this is, like, the updated information, and then, like, just keep scrolling and not bother sharing it.
Yeah, because it's not like they're yeah. following that person. Like, they probably just saw it in their explore page, shared it because they thought mm-hmm. it was interesting, and then, like, that's it. Like, there's no way they could even see that. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, like, something that, like, also happens on Tumblr. Is, you know, sometimes the misinformation post will be more popular than, like, the corrected post. Yeah, sometimes I'll see, like, people reblogging the misinformation first, and I'm like, you haven't seen what I've seen yet.
Like, one other thing about Tumblr I just thought about, I realized, like, for Instagram, we find, like, these more well-packaged posts as more credible, like, they confer more authority. Like, I remember when I was on Tumblr, mm-hmm. like, whichever post just, like, had the best vocabulary and, like, exuded the most confidence, like, this is true, like, I would just reblog it. And if I saw it had, like, 100,000 notes, I'd yeah. be like, this has to be true. And this is, like, the modern day iteration of that, where it's, like, this has to be true. If, like, Tumblr yeah. is just the predecessor of Instagram at this point.
I just, like, remembered, like, way back in the day when, like, the format was, like, listen up, motherfuckers, let me tell you a thing.
Yeah.
Now people are more polite, slightly.
Yeah, I feel like the crowd is thinned a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in that case, how do we identify what is, like, an actually good, factual, helpful, useful infographic?
So this is, like, actually something that I saw from an article, but if it comes from, like, a reputable news source, like, it's been fact-checked and reviewed. So, like, this is, like, if you're following, I think, like, an Instagram account for, like, an actual, like, news company or whatever, mm-hmm. then, like, it's probably safe. But I think also, like, if it's from one of those accounts that are generally doing these, like, more infographic style content, are they citing their sources? And if so, are those sources reputable as well? You also want to make sure that, like, the author or artist is clearly stated. So like anonymous posts can introduce an unknown level of bias. Like you don't know this person's background. You don't know what their point of view mm-hmm. is and how it could be coloring the things that they think and yeah. say. And like connected to that, like, is this person like clearly stating their bias so that you can have a better understanding of like their perspective? Something that I also thought was interesting is like, oh, is the author or artist new to this? Or is this something that they do a lot? Because there are those accounts now that like, this is all mm-hmm. they do. I think one account is like, so you want to talk about yeah. blah, blah, blah. And like, I think they actually do their research. They like collaborate with like other people who might be more informed. So I think, you know, accounts like that, you can trust to give you good information. But that account specifically made a post about Sheikh Jarrah. And I guess like they had received like a backlash about it. Like, oh, the information in that post was like so biased, blah, blah, blah. And so like they made a story to like address all of that. And they were kind of like, I cited all my sources from non-biased AP News, mm-hmm. like was one of their sources. You know, and they were like, I'm just one person. Like, obviously I have a bias. Yeah. And they were like, also, this is like just an Instagram account. Like, obviously you shouldn't be getting your news from me. Mm-hmm. Like, you should be doing your own research as well.
Yeah, whenever, you know, content creators or like, these people, whenever they're very, like, self-aware of their bias, because there's no way anything can be unbiased or objective. Like, you will have a bias as a human being. Like, you grew up in a very specific mm-hmm. situation. If you are self-aware that you have a bias and you can call out why you believe what you believe and not just, like, insisting it's correct just because... Like, I think I would believe you more. Like, I would think that they're more credible because they have that humility to admit that they're wrong, even if, like, there is something that they might have shared, like, on accident or, you know, something that might be outdated information. Because immediately, like, if I see, like, creators who just, like, double down on their perspective despite being presented with, like, pretty credible, like, and convincing countering points, like, I'm just like, okay, well, mm-hmm. how can I trust other things that you are saying if you insist that, like, because... information changes too, like with time. What is true, like, yeah. then might not be true now, just based on what information is available. So,
yeah.
The ability to be flexible is like super important to me.
Definitely. You know, I think obviously you shouldn't be getting your news from Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's fine to get your news from Instagram, but I don't think that, like, if you're to have a conversation with someone, that should be your only source mm-hmm. that you can cite.
Yeah.
Do your research. Yes. Be more well rounded.
Yeah.
So, there's this quote, I think it's from Vox. Some posts are created with better intentions and sensitivity than others. The value lies in the ability of the infographic to reach a huge audience, which makes the job of activists easier, as it's more effective to build on familiar conversations than to introduce topics that aren't usually discussed. Digital activism shouldn't be seen as the solution or an end goal, but a first step to take the learning offline. And as social media users, it's up to us to be more critical and intentional with our digital footprints.
Thanks for listening to Internet Aesthetic. The music for this podcast is Rose Ornamental by Blue Dot Sessions. If you enjoyed listening, you can find us out on Instagram at net.aesthetic or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/internetaesthetic. We hope you join us again next week.